Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
This morning, we're going to talk about in the waiting. How many of you ever felt like you were waiting? How many of you are waiting right now on something, right? You're just in the waiting, and it could be a promise from God. It could be a breakthrough from God. You could be waiting for wayward sons and daughters to come back to the Lord, and those seeds that were sown into their youth, into the good soil of their youth, are going to produce a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold. And as we were preparing for this month, we really felt like we were just going to leave it open. We're going to preach whatever God puts on our heart. And I really felt like the Lord was saying that we're going to talk about in the waiting, those waiting seasons, as the Lord shapes us and molds us and prepares us for what He has next. And so if you have your Bibles, have them with you. That's your sword. You'll need them for this morning. You need them every day, but you'll definitely need them this morning. If you have your bulletins, inside there are notes, and there's a ton of scripture. Okay, and so you're going to want to follow along. Hear the word of the Lord. We're going to just kind of catapult off of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord and the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints or grows weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, somebody say amen, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence and your glory that is in and among us, Lord, today. And Father, Lord, as we teach your word, Lord, as we hear your voice, Lord, we pray, Lord, that every distraction, every spirit that is not your spirit must leave this place in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. In fact, we want you to be our teacher, be our comforter, be our advocate today. Move through the pews, Lord. Move through the screen, Lord, to those who are watching online, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would move us forward, engage our faith, ignite our hope. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, that you would be seen and heard only. I pray for clarity, Lord, today. I pray for confidence today, humility today, transparency today. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 The overarching question for today is, what are you waiting for? And all of us have an answer for that, don't we? I love definitions, and one of the definitions I found for waiting is this, is to stay where one is or delay action until a particular time or until something else happens. Throughout the scripture, wherever you see the word wait, a lot of times the translators of the canon will use the word hope. So those who wait on the Lord, those who hope on the Lord. So when we talk about definitions, definitions matter because we live in a generation where social media is flooding our minds and our understanding of what is. And so a lot of times within the church, we're speaking the same words, but we actually are saying different things. And so when we talk about waiting on the Lord and we talk about hoping in the Lord, we're talking about the place that we place our trust. Or we put our trust. Ultimately, we are submitting to the process that God has put upon our lives. And I just want to encourage you today, if you're in the process, you're in God's plan. And all of us should be in the process. And all of us have different processes. And every process is not created equally. Amen? But when we talk about waiting, what we don't talk about is this. Waiting doesn't mean do nothing. Somebody say amen. Because we've done that, amen? There's times in our lives where we're waiting upon the Lord, and the enemy will tell us, well, that's just, you're just sitting, it's like at a stop sign or at a stoplight, and you're just waiting for the green light to go ahead. And I want to tell you, that's not the way that it is in the kingdom of God. As we wait on Him, He waits on us. As we are waiting for what's next, He's preparing that thing for us, and He's preparing us for that thing, amen? And there's this interaction, this agreement, this kairos moment, this merging of streams of what was and what is. And that's what happens in the waiting. We don't stop. We don't stop obeying. We don't stop moving forward. And we certainly don't stop forgiving, loving, and blessing. We just don't stop. Amen. And I believe for some of us today, for some of us, the door between our waiting season and our breakthrough is the door of unforgiveness in our hearts. We need to release ourselves from the verdict and the conclusion that we've made on others. And we need to do what the Bible says and hand them over to God and let Him work out the process in their life as He works in our life to do the same. Amen? I've seen it over and over and over again. The Spirit absolutely manifests itself in the body. Many of us are dealing with physical and mental diagnoses, and I'm going to tell you, it's very much connected to your spiritual health. And when you are willing and you're ready to walk in forgiveness, you're ready to walk in your breakthrough. And so we wait upon the Lord. We work and we till the ground and we steward what He puts in our hand until He changes what He's putting in our hand. Many of you know this. Whenever I got called to go to seminary about 10 years ago, my first answer was pretty much no. Like, it wasn't happening, because I had this lack of confidence in anything academic. Whenever I was in high school, I really struggled through high school with attention span and comprehension of reading. I would read something and just lose it and have to go back and read again, or I would lose my place and have to go and start reading. It was frustrating, and the spirit of condemnation and shame and doubt would come upon me anytime I was in an academic classroom, anything that wasn't social in nature. And so when the Lord healed me of anxiety and depression, he birthed three things in my life. We birthed United. He told me to enter the United Methodist process, and He told me I was going to seminary. And when I said I was going to seminary, I knew I had to stand on a stage and tell everyone that I was going, because if I didn't tell everyone I was going, I wasn't going to do it. And as we went to seminary, I remember the first seminary I went to is down in Harrisonburg, Virginia. That's like our homeland of the Barclays, the Shenandoah Valley. That's God's country down there. And I remember being on the hill and being in this retreat center and looking out on the horizon of this beautiful valley. And then there was this huge mountain at the end of this long valley. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment, as sure as I'm standing right here in front of you. He said, Jeremy, the valley in front of you is as big or bigger than the mountain that you'll have to climb. And in those moments of that formation class, we were told to articulate what will be the overarching theme of our time in seminary together. And the Lord gave me this line. He said, while I'm waiting, I will be a waiter. While I'm waiting upon the Lord, while I'm waiting to finish, while I'm waiting for the next thing, I will serve Him. Amen? If He rings His bell, I will be at attention. If He calls my name, I will get up in the middle of the night. If He screams in my dreams, I will get up and write them down and try to find an interpretation. Because while I'm waiting, I will be a waiter. I will serve Him. I will not wait until He puts me in a position of my liking. I will serve in the position that He's given me today. Amen? And that's how we live in the seasons between where we are and where we know God is taking us. We serve and we love and we plow and we till the ground, right? And we bless others who curse us. That's what we do, church, in the waiting. What does the Bible say about the waiting? I want to tell you, if you are in a waiting season, you can wait in the Psalms. The Psalms are holy ground for waiting seasons. Psalm 25, verse 5, if you have your notes, you can open them up and follow along with me. It says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are God of my salvation, and I wait for you all the day long. Teach me in your truth. Teach me in your truth. It's not teach me in your truth as I'm scrolling. It's teach me as I'm waiting, and teach me by your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in the way, or the man who carries out evil devices. What is he saying? As you wait for the Lord, and as the Lord waits on you, Don't worry about how the Lord waits for them. The enemy loves to draw us into the warfare, hear me this, of the warfare of comparison. Because if you're comparing what you perceive others to get, you'll never receive in gratitude what God's already given you. And if you're not operating in what God's given you, you're going to wait even longer. Because here's the thing, the Lord is not rushed. His timing is perfect. His character is faithful. And he's more concerned, hear this, he's more concerned in what he desires to do in you than you are a desire for him to do for you. And so he'll just wait. And he'll just, Romans 8:28, work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. See, that's what happens, especially in the younger generations. We see they're dating this person, or they're married to this person, or they have this job. Can I just let you know this, church? Young women, young men, as God is preparing Mr. Right for you, you better believe the enemy will bring Mr. Wrong. You better believe it. You better believe it. And you're going to have to be as gentle as doves and as wise as serpents in those seasons. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Psalm 62, verse 5 says, "For God alone, O my soul, I wait in silence, for my hope is from him." How many of us wait in silence? None of us. How many of us are grumblers? How many of us are grumblers? I complain in the waiting. Very good, don't I? Right? I notice what everyone else doesn't seem to be waiting. I'm the only one waiting, Lord. I'm just complaining. I hate to wait. If I see a line in the drive-thru, I ain't going. It don't matter how much, Chick-fil-A's different. All right? I will go to Chick-fil-A and Starbucks and wait in line, but I ain't going anywhere else because I don't like to wait. If I'm in the grocery line or if I'm at TJ Maxx and I see the line, I'll walk right out because I ain't waiting for no one, and I certainly ain't waiting in silence. And if it's a long line, I'm going to tell that manager why it's a long line. Amen? But the Lord calls me to wait in silence. Micah 7:7, this is a good one. "But as for me, I will watch expectantly." That's good. "I will watch expectantly for the Lord my God, and I will wait for the God of my salvation." And hear this, my God will hear me. He hears you. He hears your cry. He hears your moan. And he loves your desperation. Psalm 32, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, and trust in him always, and he shall bring it to pass." He shall bring it to pass. You know what happens? As I wait upon the Lord, and my desire is to be with him, he projects, just like that screen right there, he's projecting an image. As I get close to the Lord and as I remain in him, the desires of his heart are projected onto my heart. And what he desires for me, get this, then I desire for me. And if you want to live in your God call, if you want to live in your destiny, remain in the Lord, because he'll start to give you a palate for what he wants for you. And you won't settle for all that artificial filler. You won't want all that stuff that is bad for you any longer, the things that don't nurture your spirit. You won't want those things. You won't desire those things because you're not remaining in those places. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I waited on the Lord patiently, and he inclined into me and heard my cry, and he brought me out of the horrible pit." Anybody been in the horrible pit? Out of the miry clay. You've been in the miry clay. "And he set my feet upon the rock, and he established my goings." I declare over your life, over your marriage, over your children, that he is about ready to pull you out and set you upon as you wait upon him. And you're going to have to let him do it. You're going to have to let him do it. What does the Bible tell us about waiting? I love that the Bible is transparent about imperfect people who love a perfect God. Amen. The Bible's all about waiting. Think about Noah. He built an ark for 120 years before he saw the first drop of rain. You think about Abraham. Abraham was waiting for the Lord to usher him into this promise that he would be the father of many nations. 25 years he waited for the birth of Isaac. Jacob, Isaac's son, waited and served Laban for 7 years and received Leah and was disappointed. And then he was given Rachel and served another 7 years. Moses, remember that guy? He served his father and as a shepherd in his fields for 40 years of exile after he murdered an Egyptian. And then he ran into the great I Am at a burning bush. And then he waited again as he delivered a nation out of Egypt and over the Red Sea into the wilderness. Joshua waited and served and loved a generation through the wilderness season of the Israelites before eventually leading that next generation into the promised land. Ruth served Naomi and waited for her Boaz. David was anointed at 15 and ran from Saul until he was 30. And even when he was 30, after he conquered Ziklag, it tells us that he was ushered in as the king of Judah, and he had to wait another 7 years until he would finally be the king of all of Israel and unite the kingdoms. Elijah endured a drought. John the Baptist made a way in the wilderness, and Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He waited for his moment in time and all of history to come down from his throne and put on flesh for you and me and hang on a cross. And he's the one who was and is to come. And now he waits upon us. He serves us and loves us into wholeness. So here's my question again. What are you waiting for in this season? Are you waiting for peace? Are you waiting for joy? Are you waiting for forgiveness, deliverance, healing, breakthrough, wayward sons and daughters, financial security, freedom from addiction? We're seeing a lot of that in this region. Promotion in the natural or the supernatural, denominational unity. And as I said earlier, I'm not the only one that's waiting for Chick-fil-A to come to Johnstown. When Chick-fil-A comes to Johnstown, revival will set in. When the original chicken sandwich is birthed into this region, right? I'm going to prophesy the best I know how, right? Then we know. There are several things that the Lord loves to do in the midst of the waiting. I have a list of seven. You're going to need to pay attention because I'm going to try to go quick, all right? He loves to fulfill his timing, number one. I want to just remind you this morning that it's all his. It's all his. Your calling is his, and so is your timing. It's all his. Romans 8:28, he works all things together for the good. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, but he is patient and enduring, wishing that no one would perish. The Lord reigns outside space and time. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. And if he knew where to find David at the right time, when his own father would not invite him to his anointing party, he knows where to find you. You just need to wait upon the Lord. And I want to tell you, if you are in his timing, you are on time. Number two, carry out his plan for your life. How many of you know that the Lord has a plan for your life? Scripture tells us in Psalm 139 that he saw your unformed frame. He says that he knew the days, he knew the words that were going to come from your lips before you spoke them. It says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, and it's not for harm, but it's for good, and it's to bring you a hope and a future. I love Psalm 127. It says, unless the builder builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. I want to tell you that he has a plan for your life. And a lot of times they go through these three processes. Number one, he calls you. Number two, he commissions you. And number three, he establishes you. What is the difference? Call is like the anointing on your head. When he anoints you and he says, I've marked you and I've set you apart for this assignment, and I put this burden in your heart and this thing in your belly that only you have. That's when he calls you. And what does he do when he commissions you? That's when he put a mantle. He puts a mantle of authority on your shoulders, and he does it in public. And he says, this person has been called, he's been anointed, but he's been set apart for this mission. But then he has to establish you, and a lot of times this takes a lot longer than the first two put together. When he establishes us, he gives us authority and credibility, and he ultimately starts to sow into us wisdom. The Lord doesn't wish to call you and anoint you with oil and throw a mantle on your shoulder and then throw you into the unknown. He loves to establish you in the unknown so that when you go in, you already have authority in the place that he's commissioned you for. And what's happened in a generation is we've gotten ahead of God and we started to try to establish ourselves on social media and establish ourselves by just knocking on doors and this political spirit. And the Lord says, no, the Lord establishes the steps of your feet. And he does it in his timing. And he'll only give you what you're ready for. I believe there are many of us today that are frustrated in the establishing. Number three, he prepares us for what's coming. Oftentimes when he prepares us for what's coming, he ties our preparation with our patience. God will never release you into something before he gives you the capacity to hold it. And I want to tell you today that if he has a plan for you, it will not fail. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back and the people online. If he has a plan for you, it will not fail. Amen. But here's the part of the preparation that we don't like. A lot of times in the preparation, he puts us next to people that we don't want to be next to. You think about Paul, and you think about the revelation that Paul got about grace because of that thorn in the flesh. And many believe that that thorn in the flesh was a person that resisted and came against his ministry. And you know, the Lord still does that today because a lot of times if we are established and we start to lean into our gifting and we start to build up ourselves and get puffed up in pride, we won't need our faith and we definitely won't need his grace. And we cannot live without his grace. We cannot live without his grace. And so there are often times where the Lord will allow a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. That's what Paul called him. You can call him whatever you want. Just call him an instrument of your sanctification. I bet you if we were to talk to Paul today, he would tell you he was thankful for that thorn. I bet you if we were to talk to Jacob today, he would tell you he was thankful for that limp that he walks with. A lot of times in your preparation, the Lord will put you next to people so that their DNA can be on you. And then he'll shift seasons and there'll be new DNA. And it's all part of your preparation because here's the thing, the only carbon copy you're to look like is Jesus. The only carbon copy you're to look like is Jesus. He strengthens us, number four. Here's a math equation for you. Grit plus maturity equals capacity. Grit, what is grit? Grit is that resolve. And you know, grit is sanctioned in the fear of the Lord. It's anchored in the fear of the Lord over the fear of man. And then when you start to become mature and patient and the fruit of the Spirit starts to grow on your tree and you have this grit in you, there's this capacity within your belly. It's like the Lord just takes a shovel and he just starts digging a well and digging a well and digging a well. And you know, the deeper he digs, the more he pours and the more you spill. Isn't that beautiful? But we need grit in the church. We need a church that just says no. We need a church that knows, yeah, there might be a devil or two or three or a dozen behind every door, but my Bible says that there are three angels to every devil. And we are the chosen of God, amen? And so he strengthens us. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. Number 5, it says this. It says, he refines us. Have any of you ever been in the fire? I want to tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus, the fire lives in you. And when that fire lives in you, he starts to burn out the inconsistencies and out the impurities. And when Jesus lives in you, he evicts everything that's not of him. He starts to purge you of the things that you thought identified you with your identity and your future and your destiny. But the Holy Spirit, the fire in you, loves to strengthen you, illuminate you. I believe in this season of the church, and you're seeing it all over social media, just keep scrolling, follow with churches. Churches that we believed had it all together. Hidden agendas are being exposed. Personal aspirations, political postures are being burned up like chaff in this season. The Lord is coming for a spotless bride, amen? And I want to just encourage you today that often the secret place is the hidden place. Obscurity often bursts breakthrough. And the Holy Spirit loves to invoke the will of the Father. And the will of God is that you would look like His Son. So I just want to tell you, for some of us, it's going to take longer to look like Jesus than others. Amen. And so some fires burn low and slow. Here's the thing. Stay in the fire, number one. Number two, you're not alone in the fire. There's another in the fire. There's another in the fire. Number six, He builds our faith and we can trust in Him. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says these words. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. I've said this before and I'll say it again just to encourage you today. Faith sees the door in front of you and hope expects to see the other side. Faith gives me the vision to know there's a door, and it's a straight and it's a narrow door. And hope realizes within me that I will see the other side. But at some point, we're going to come to a threshold. And at the threshold, that's the place of transaction, and it's the place of transition. And with transitions, there are transactions. There are comings, and there are goings. And I'm going to tell you today you are living in a prophetic moment. The Global Methodist Church was birthed today. There are thousands of churches that have already come in. And I'm going to tell you something. Today is a threshold moment. And not everybody that's with us will stay with us. And there are some that aren't with us that are going to come and jump on board. But I want to tell you, today God's timing is perfect. If you will wait upon the Lord, He will get you to the other side. He will get you there. But you have to be willing to walk with Him and sometimes let Him carry you over the threshold. I wasn't strong enough to do that when I got married, carry my wife over the threshold, right? But He's going to carry His bride over the threshold. He's going to give us faith to believe it. If you're having trouble today seeing the door, I just want to impart this wisdom to you today. Do this and expect this exercise. Ask the Lord to show you the in part portion of what is to come. If you're not seeing it any longer, or things are getting cloudy and things are getting fuzzy and your ears are getting clogged because of everything that's on your heart, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to show you the in part vision of what is to come. And what will happen is the faith within you will arise. Because we live in part, amen? And eventually we will see and we will realize and we will operate in full. But as long as we're in the part, here's the thing, we prophesy in part. So Lord, impart into me a vision of what's to come. The in part vision, the portion that I can handle. Give me a keyhole vision so I can just see that there's another room, Lord. I don't even need to know what's all in the room, but just show me the carpet so that I can activate my faith and know that you'll get me there. Number seven, He teaches us patience. We've all learned long, 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 long ago, never pray for patience. But long suffering imparts patient enduring. Romans chapter 5 says this. It says that suffering leads to perseverance, and perseverance to character, and character to hope. Hear this. Patience is a fruit that never goes stale. But it grows sweeter with time. When you have the gift of patience, peace is not far behind. And patience releases a spiritual confidence, and confidence isn't easily wavered. So what are we to do with all of this? While I'm in the waiting, what are we to do? I just have two charges for you. Trust His plan, His preparation, and His timing. If He spoke it, He will bring it to pass. If He spoke it, He will prepare you for it. And He will release you in His timing, not your own. Philippians 1:6 says this, I am sure of this, He who began a good work in me will see it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can I just tell you, there are no unfinished projects in the kingdom of heaven. If he began it in you, he'll see it through. Will you wait upon him? Will you wait upon him? Habakkuk tells us this in chapter 2. It tells us, write down the vision, make it clear on tablets. Some of us need to do that today. In the waiting, as the Lord gives you the impart vision, write down the vision, make it clear on tablets, so that he may run with it who reads it. For still the vision awaits for the appointed time and hastens until the end, and it will not lie. Although it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. The last point is this. Lean into who he is. As you remain and you wait upon the Lord, you're going to know more about him. And I promise you this. The more you know about him, the more you will trust him. And the less you will lean on man. The less you will lean on the things of this world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So lean into who he is, be where he has you, and quit worrying about where you don't think he does have you. Just be where your feet are. You'll never have today again. The place he has your feet may move tomorrow. Do you want to have regrets about not working what he's given you today? So while you're in the waiting, just work what he's given you. Trust his timing and trust his goodness. Pastor Lee Cummings says this in the School of the Spirit, and I love it. He says that this generation is so consumed with their destiny that's the question that we've asked the Lord over and over again. Lord, what is my destiny? What is my destiny? What is my destiny? And he says this. He says, our question needs to be, where is my obedience? Where is my obedience? And I'm going to tell you, church, if you're walking in obedience as unto the Lord, you will be in your destiny. And you will be on time, even in the waiting. Even in the waiting. I believe this morning, I heard it last night from the Lord as I was getting ready to go to bed. I ran back downstairs and I wrote it in my satchel, and I wrote it here in the corner. I believe some of us are in this season right now because we're confused. The enemy is the author of confusion, right? And I believe this is where some of us are. Don't be found waiting on something God has not forecasted. Do you hear that? Some of us are waiting on something that God's never said. Don't be found in that kind of waiting. Be found waiting in obedience. You know, we hear a lot about revival, and if we're not careful, we'll start to look around and we'll start to be discouraged because maybe it's not looking like we said it's going to look or we thought it's going to look. But I believe that in this season of the church, we are living in an Emmaus, Road of Emmaus season, Kairos moment. If you remember that story, it's right after the resurrection. Jesus is walking with some disciples, and they don't even recognize him, because a lot of times what we see with our visual eyes is not transparent in what we feel in our heart, in our spirit. It says that Jesus revealed himself, and then he left them, and they looked upon one another. And I believe that some of us are going to find ourselves in these days. He looked upon them, and they realized in that moment of that revelation, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? We were with the risen King, and they kind of felt like they missed it. I want to tell you, revival is building. There's a move of God that's building, and it's like a wave that takes a while to build out in the ocean, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to crest, and it's going to crash, and right now, we're in the building, and I'm going to tell you, last weekend at Waymaker Conference, when 200 kids are singing as unto the Lord, and the Oakland kids are in the first row leading the charge. Revival is building. Healings are happening in the name of Jesus. More is coming in the name of Jesus. We're in the waiting season. We're in the Road to Emmaus season. Did our hearts not burn within us? We're going to look back and say, did we miss it? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. He's here. He's walking among us. Where's your obedience? We could stand together and have our worship team come. I don't know what you're waiting for this morning. I don't know what God has put in your heart, but I believe that there are many under the sound of my voice today that need to put a stake in the ground and say, I will wait upon the Lord as he waits on me. I believe some of us are waiting for breakthrough in marriages. Some of us are waiting for wayward sons and daughters who are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to relationships. You know that the prayers of a mother and a father are fervent and effective. Amen? It's time to start to rush the enemy. We don't hang back and wait on him to charge us. We have the story that changes all stories. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're done being in the waiting. Right now, we are waiting upon the Lord. We are serving him. It is time for us to, you know what, start to fight for the things that God has put in our hearts. This is the year of contention. This is the year of contention. We're going to worship and the altar is open. We have many ministers here. I wonder if you'll come. We would love to pray with you. Maybe today is the day that you make the declaration that changes it all. Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, in these moments, Lord, that you would be transparent, that you would search us, oh God. And Father, we would not be held captive by a calendar or an agenda for the day or a clock, but Father, Lord, we would be held captive by your presence. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would move us forward in these moments, Lord, that you would glorify yourself, Lord, that we would leave here forever changed. Strengthen us in the waiting. And Lord, as we wait, we will be a waiter. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.